Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 21st chapter, text number 25. Prajabhatri pindatam swatam evanusuyava kruta doksha jadiyas tahimenu grahakta. Prajabhatri pindhatam swatam evanusuyava kruta doksha jadiyas tahimenu grahakta. Prajabhatri pindhatam svatam evanasuyava kuruta doksha jadiyas tarhi menu grahakta. Prajavatripindartam Vindatam Svatam Evanusuyava Kuruta Sajadiya Ahimenu Grahakata Tatam Pitikatam Prajapati pindatam therefore praja. My dear citizens, Bhatri, of the Master, Pindartam, welfare after death, Swartam, own interest, Eva, certainly, Anasuyava, without being envious, Kuruta, just execute Adokshaja, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhyā, thinking of Him. Tarhi, therefore, may unto me anugraha, mercy, kṛtā, being done. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda. Pitu Maharaj continued, "Therefore, my dear citizens, for the welfare of your king after his death, you should execute your duties properly in terms of your positions of varna and ashram, and should always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your hearts. By doing so, you will protect your own interests, and you will bestow mercy upon your king for his welfare after death." Please repeat. Pitu Maharaj continued. "Therefore, my dear citizens, for the welfare of your king, after his death, you should execute your duties properly in terms of your positions of varna and ashram, and should always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your hearts. By doing so, you will protect your own interests, and you will bestow mercy upon your king for his welfare after death." Purport. The words Adokshajit Diya, meaning Krishna consciousness, are very important in this verse. The king and citizens should both be Krishna conscious. Otherwise, both of them will be doomed to lower species of life after death. A responsible government must teach Krishna consciousness very vigorously for the benefit of all. Without Krishna consciousness, neither the state nor the citizens of the state can be responsible. Pitu Maharaj therefore specifically requested the citizens to act in Krishna consciousness, and he was also very anxious to teach them how to become Krishna conscious. A summary of Krishna consciousness is given in Bhagavad Gita 9:27. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhosi dadhasi yat tapasyasi kundaya tat karushva amararpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you give in charity, and whatever penances you undergo should be done in Krishna consciousness or for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If all the people of the state, including the government servants, are taught the techniques of spiritual life, then although everyone is liable to be punished in different ways by the stringent laws of material nature, they will not be implicated. Om jnana timarandasya ganam jana shalakaya chakshur militam minatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Darati Swapatantikam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Paracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavati Pastyate Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sriya Dvaita Garadha Shivashti Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada in the purport indicates Adokshajadiyam as being very significant words in this verse. Also, in the beginning of the verse, and one of the main themes that Pitu Maharaj is making here, is Bhartri Pindhartam. In previous verses, the king is giving his subjects the understanding what a king should do for the people. Actually, that Krishna explained that in Bhagavad Gita in the beginning, evam parampratam evam rajarshayo vidu, that it's the Raja Rishi. A Raja has to be a Rishi to be responsible. Otherwise, he has to be conversant in spiritual subject matters. And evam parampratam, that he is the person who sustains the parampara. Because if the king is not responsible, then people will be miserable. Just like now we can see in executing Krishna consciousness. The only reason that how a devotee can be happy, especially neophytes, which most of us are in that category, at least I can confess, but that for the neophyte devotee, the present situation of the world is very unpalatable and very unfavorable for executing Krishna consciousness. Because in the present condition, the kings or the leaders are completely irresponsible. As it says in the Bhagavatam, that the kings are so irresponsible that prajahi lundhai rajanyayar, that the praja are being exploited constantly. And nirgrinayar dasyu dharma bi. And the kings are like thieves. They're actually just like thieves. And what are they doing? Anichcha daru dravina. That they are taking away the wives and the property of the citizens. Just like now we can see in modern society, taking away the wives mean that they make very popular. Otherwise, chastity, fidelity, all these things are considered to be old-fashioned, psychologically damaging. You know, you might be put together with this person who may not allow you to fulfill all of your desires exactly like you'd want to. So therefore, it doesn't matter. Just get a new one. You know? Everybody else does it. The animals in the forest. No. So why can't you? So, and this is what modern society is being promoted. Actually, just coming from India, I gave a few programs in some schools and universities. Some of the students were explaining how nowadays this is being taught even in schools in India. That all these things, all these ancient taboos should be done away with. That this is what has been holding up the progress of India. You know, all these ideas. How women should be like this and men should be like this. And we should just forget about all this and have a happy society. So in this way, they steal away men's wives' property, you know, to the point where the people, yasyanti giri kananam, that people will have to run away to the forests. People will have to abandon everything and just, you know, somehow or another save their lives. So this is the situation in present society. The present society, Pitu Maharaj, as Srila Prabhupada states somewhere previously in this verse, in this chapter, that Pitu Maharaj is the ideal king. And therefore, Bidura is asking Maitreya Muni, please speak more and more about Pitu Maharaj, because knowing that Kali Yuga is going to come soon into effect, then everyone will be so miserable. The kings, no one will know what to do. It's so important that a king knows what to do because it creates the environment. Just like a devotee who has the great fortune to associate and be instructed by Mahabhagavat, like Srila Prabhupada, and our parampara, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Anyone who receives this mercy can somehow or another maintain their Krishna consciousness even in the midst of very difficult circumstances. And because also we have attained the special mercy through our parampara of being part of the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where chanting dancing and chanting the holy name is actually what gives us our taste in Krishna consciousness, then we can somehow or another maintain ourselves. But someone whose faith is very weak and very pliable will not be able to maintain themselves. And therefore, a king has the responsibility of creating a society that is conducive to spiritual life. Whatever level of spiritual life is possible, then the king has to create that particular circumstance. Otherwise, a devotee can maintain themselves because, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the verse, adokshajadiyam. So adokshajats, it's interesting that this particular name of Krishna, adokshajadiyam, that by being Krishna conscious or by meditating, because dhya means to meditate. Actually, from the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, Satyam Param Dhimahi, from the very first verse, it is recommended that we meditate on the Supreme Personality of God, that this is the actual purpose of human life. So, adokshajadiyam also indicates that the only way you can meditate on Krishna is hearing about Him. The material intelligence can be trained, or even after many lifetimes, one can acquire great material intelligence. Just like I was just visiting one devotee who was in jail for some time for some false charges. But he met this very interesting person, professor, I can't remember his name, has an IQ of like 200 and something. He was so intelligent, I mean, materially intelligent, that he memorized dictionaries and encyclopedias and just every book he ever read, just knew every word of it. And, this man was put in jail because, I forget, some type of tax fraud or something. And so this devotee was speaking to him, trying to explain something about Krishna consciousness, and he just couldn't accept. Just couldn't, all this intelligence, and he couldn't accept. Because the type of intelligence that Krishna gives us, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Bayantite, is the intelligence by which we can actually achieve the purpose of the human form of life. And this is also spoken about by Srila Prabhupada in some previous verses, that this whole system that Prithu Maharaj has put into place is to give the facility to go back home, back to Godhead. The whole purpose of society, therefore society has to be arranged according to Varnashram. Otherwise people will suffer. Just like Srila Prabhupada says somewhere, I can't remember exactly where it is, but in one purport, he says that if people just followed Ekadashi, if everyone followed Ekadashi, it would stop the whole food problem in the world. Just by 2 days out of the month fasting, or fasting even from just grains and beans, we can actually feed the whole world. That's how just any element of Varnashram can create such an auspicious condition. Any element of spiritual life which is interjected. So therefore, adokshajadiyam. Adokshaja means he who cannot be perceived by the material senses. Nayam atma prabhachanena labhyo namidhaya nabahuna shrutena. We can't understand Krishna by any degree of intelligence, by getting together, trying to figure it out. Trying to figure out what is the supreme. Just like the goal of scientists, the goal of the philosophers, the goal of everyone, any thinking person throughout the ages, throughout centuries, in any given culture, has been trying to figure out the purpose of life, try to figure out the origin of life. Scientists try to figure out the origin of life, but they can't find it. Because adokshaja. Because the actual origin, which is Krishna, am sarvasya pavavo mata sarvam bhavartate, whether they're looking for a material cause or a spiritual cause, it is Krishna. So whatever anyone's looking for, they're only going to find it in Krishna. But when Krishna desires, when Krishna actually allows that the living entities can approach Him, then it becomes very easy. Anyone can do it. Actually, in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada was saying that to understand Krishna consciousness, one has to be advanced. So what does it mean to be advanced? To be convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he said, therefore, even a child can do it. Anyone can be convinced. And that's an advanced devotee. So, adokshajadiyam means, specifically in the verse, Srila Prabhupada says, think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your hearts. Otherwise, to think of someone momentarily, every once in a while, just like people, when they go to work, they have a picture of their family or their wife or their something that they love very much, and they think about it every once in a while. Look at it, think of it. And also, we may have many pictures of Krishna. We may even have the deities, and someone may come and think of them, may come to the temple 7 a.m. or sometime during the day and think of the deities. But unless we have the deities within our hearts, then we won't be able to think of them 24 hours a day. But Krishna consciousness means 24 hours a day that we have to think of Krishna. No. That just like in Lord Chaitanya's time, there was one of his great devotees, Mukunda. Mukunda was a physician by his trade, but he was always so absorbed in Krishna. He was always thinking about Krishna, but he had this particular job, being a very distinguished physician. He was given the position of being the physician for the Sahab, the Hussein Shah. So one day he came and the king requested him to come, please sit down beside me. And so he sat down. And so all of a sudden one of the king's servants started fanning him with a peacock feather, you know, a peacock fan. And so Mukunda, he just looked at the peacock fan. And he started going like this. He started moving from side to side. And he just fell over unconscious. No. And so the king, what's wrong? What's wrong? Pick him up. And so, of course, this is a Muslim king. How is he going to understand what's going on? So when Mukunda was brought back to consciousness, he said, no, I've had this fever for many days. I just can't, you know, I'm feeling very bad. I can't control myself. And then it happened again. No. And then again he got up. He said, oh, it's just very difficult. I can't. Something, this fever, I just can't get over it. But even the king, even though he was a Muslim king, he could understand that there was something very special about this person. That even a peacock feather, just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, he saw the ocean and he immediately thought, this is the Jamuna. And he just went out into the waves and became lost. It was brought in by a fisherman who saw his ecstatic symptoms and couldn't understand, thought he'd seen this person was ghostly haunted or some kind of spirit. And when he saw the sand dunes, he thought, here is Giri Govardhan. And he would fall into ecstasy and go and embrace the sand dune and offer obeisances. So this is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means that everything reminds us of Krishna. And this is a adokshajadiya. But this diya, this intelligence, cannot be given by the ordinary intellectual process. The ordinary intellectual process will always keep us within the modes of nature. Just like in the Bhagavatam, it says, dhyatur diyam, that everything that is contrived or conceived of by our own intelligence, just manoratayata, it just is processed by the mind, and yat karma sankalpa bikalpam yata, that or manaha, that the mind will just think of it in terms of accepting or rejecting the material objects that it perceives. So unless we're Krishna conscious, unless we actually, someone explains Krishna to us, because Krishna cannot be found out. Krishna cannot be sought out. Krishna cannot be discovered. Krishna cannot be in any way perceived by a mental, intellectual, or any kind of process. So doksaja dhyam, Srila Prabhupada says, is very important. And it's very important also the word pindartam, bhartri pindartam, that the king must be the citizens have to think of the king and help the king. Otherwise, if someone gives us spiritual instruction, just like in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, it says that there are two ingredients that the Bhagavatam can flow, can be able to, there can be a transmission of a spiritual message. Bhagavat Pradhan and Shushushatam. There has to be someone who understands the Bhagavatam, and there has to be a willing audience. If the audience is not willing, means that they come to hear the Bhagavatam for some material purpose. No. Just like professional, we always hear about professional reciters of the Bhagavatam. So why do people go and hear these recitations? Because they think, I'll get some wealth, I'll get some material benefits, I'll get some prosperity, I'll get some strength, I'll get some auspiciousness in my life. No. But the purpose of hearing the Bhagavatam, Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punyashravana Kirtanam, the purpose is to purify our hearts through the process of hearing and chanting. We hear and then we chant, which means that after hearing the Bhagavatam, we should put it into practice. No. This is the process of hearing. So if the listener is interested, and if the speaker is interested, meaning that the speaker is pure in heart and desirous of giving the service of offering the understanding of the Bhagavatam to everyone, then the transmission of the Bhagavatam takes place. Otherwise, so the king is saying, even though I have acted somewhat responsibly, and even though, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, that he is a responsible king, he's requesting the citizens, you must also be responsible. Just like Srila Prabhupada would say to us again and again, please take this message very seriously. Please apply this Krishna consciousness to your lives. Please follow these principles. Please always chant the holy name. Prabhupada was transmitting to us. He was always giving us perfect knowledge. But also, he who gives perfect knowledge or he who gives a perfect government must also constantly request, because our tendency is, another important word in this verse, anasuyava. If we are not free from envy, then our tendency is to, because of our envious nature, we want to enjoy Ishwaraham Maham Bhogi, these two tendencies. Whenever we are influenced by the demoniac nature, we have these two tendencies, control and enjoy. So we're very busy controlling our lives, trying to control our environment, trying to adapt everything to my will, and trying to enjoy material life. And therefore we're distracted by the envious nature of the living entity. We are distracted. And Krishna tells Arjuna, idam te guyatamam pravaksham yanasuyave. If one is anasuyava, or free from envy, or even in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, paramo nirmatsaranam satam, that this Bhagavatam, this Krishna conscious message, is meant for non-envious persons. Persons who actually have sufficient humility to understand Krishna, who are adoksajadiyam. Adoksajadiyam really means that in any circumstance in life, that Krishna is there. Because if everything's very nice and I am in good health and everything's going pretty nice in my life, it may be somewhat easy to try to think about Krishna a little bit, or at least every once in a while, or lead a pious life and have Krishna somehow or another in our lives. But the real test of adoksajadhyam, just like Pitu Maharaj is saying here, is when there are difficult situations. Therefore, he's warning the citizens previous to his appearance or his reign, there were very unfavorable circumstances, and people were totally bewildered, and they had deviated from Krishna consciousness, and everyone was doing so many unnecessary things, and everyone was miserable. Now Prithu Maharaj, by being a perfect king, subdued the earth and made the earth by sacrifice again perform her proper function, which is to provide for all the people. The earth is very capable to do this. Nowadays, scientists are thinking we have to go to Mars. Let's find water on Mars because there may not be enough water here. So, very practical solution, bring it from Mars. No? If we run out of water, we'll just bring it from Mars. No, easy to do. Just a space cosmic pipeline or something. No? And all kinds of things. Let's go to the moon. We can get energy from the moon. We can get water from Mars. We can, you know, all kinds of crazy propositions are being made just to quell, just to not cause people to think that what's going on, things are getting worse. No. By advanced technology, you know, we'll work everything out. Don't worry. Don't think about the apparent problems. Lack of fuel, or don't even think about these. Just enjoy. Buy more. Drink some beer. No, you know, keep yourself intoxicated and foolish so that you can't think. And then we'll figure it all out. Just like we've done so nicely up to now. No. So, this type of irresponsible government is causing everyone to be totally bewildered and to not perform the functions of life. So Dokshaja Diyam, the king has to teach everyone, not only in prosperity or when everything is how they would like it to be, but in any particular circumstance in life, that one will think of Krishna. Just like when Krishna himself appeared, everyone was so absorbed in Krishna that even when there was some danger, it's like the greatest, the most intense manifestation of how the residents of Vrindavan were so absorbed in Krishna that only Krishna was the only solution in their lives, was when Krishna, in his sporting attitude, jumped into the lake of the Yamuna to chastise Kaliya, Kaliya Mardana. Subduing Kaliya. So when he jumped in, the main residents, Nanda, Yashoda Mai, the main people weren't there. Even Balaram wasn't there with him. So Krishna jumped into the lake, and some of the other members of the community were nearby. And they saw Krishna jump in, and then this huge serpent came out. Krishna jumped up in the air, and he bit him on the chest. And then pulled Krishna in and wrapped him up in his coils and went underwater. And they were completely dumbfounded. They couldn't even move. And then all of a sudden, all kinds of inauspicious omens appeared. There were meteors in the sky. There were tremors in the earth. There was all the animals were shivering. Whenever animals are shivering, this is a bad sign. Especially the cows and the bulls. They will only shiver when it's very auspicious, which means people are killing them or wanting to kill them. And all kinds of these things were happening. Everyone's left eye started twitching. It's a very inauspicious sign. So immediately Nanda Maharaj thought, Krishna, where is he gone? He went out today without Balaram. Something must be wrong. Everybody, and then the community member said, please come immediately to the Yamuna. Everybody came. And then they saw Krishna just coming out of the water, and sometimes he would go under, and wrapped up within the coils of this Kaliya. And so immediately Yashoda Mai just fainted and she became lifeless. And some of the cowherd boys who had already drunk the water, they were apparently laying there lifeless. And everybody thought, let us give up our lives. somehow or another, Krishna, somehow or another, he's entered into this dangerous position. They couldn't even see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they thought, Krishna's in danger. We don't know what's going to happen. Let us just give up our lives. Because living without Krishna is impossible. No. So this is the Daksha Diyam. In any given circumstance, one can only think of Krishna, and one can understand that Krishna is the only solution. Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita give many examples in the life of Lord Chaitanya how this adoksha jadiyam, this total absorption in Krishna, actually will allow any devotee to actually be happy in any circumstance. Of course, the two examples, the main examples that are given is Prahlad Maharaj and Haridas Thakur. That actually is explained in the, even more than in the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Bhagavat, that Prahlad Maharaj, actually, because in the Bhagavatam when we read, it doesn't appear that Prahlad was feeling he wasn't feeling the effects of all these tortures. But actually in the Chaitanya Bhagavat it explains that he was feeling it. No. But because his chanting was so intense, he was feeling it physically, but he didn't perceive it. No. Otherwise, the physical torture was there, but he didn't perceive it. And of course, he was being protected. His body was being protected by Krishna. And the same with Haridas Thakur. No. Haridas Thakur was so conscious, Krishna conscious, that when he was, first of all, when he was brought before the Hussein Shah by the Qazi, very envious Qazi. Hussein Shah, sometimes he would have like glimpses of spirituality. Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, and the first time when he came to Ram Kelly, he was dancing and chanting with all of his devotees, and the Hussein Shah sent his deputy, his sheriff, to go see his main police commissioner. And he came back, and he reported, he just described the beautiful body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he sent one of his ministers, who was actually a devotee. And the minister said, so he said, what do you think? And the minister said, well, I think this is just some sannyasi. So many of them come through here. He's just, you know, creating a little commotion. He'll be gone. Because he was thinking immediately this Hussein Shah is going to detain Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, he is not ordinary. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No. Without any money, without any means, everyone's attracted to him. And I have so much wealth, opulence, power, and yet no one is attracted to me. No. So he went through this whole description. And so every once in a while he would have these feelings. So when Haridas Thakur was brought before him, Haridas began to preach to him. And then he said, so if you don't like what I've just told you, you can punish me as you wish. No. And so Hussein Shah, he could see this is a very special person. But this Qazi was so envious. He said, no, he's just trying to fool you. He's just trying to trick you. He'll use his magic, whatever it is, to bewilder us and to overthrow the kingdom. And he'll bring the Hindus into revolution. He immediately must be done. And also he's an insult to the Muslim culture. So the Hussein Shah said, okay, then he must be punished. So what punishment do you want? And he said, he must be whipped and scorned until he's dead. No. And so Haridas accepted it. And Haridas went through all this torture. And the whole time he was aware that he was being tortured. But he wasn't feeling it because he was so absorbed in Krishna. And the only thing that made him accept the torture, so to speak, was that the guards themselves pleaded to him that, please die. Because if you don't die, we're going to be killed. No. And they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. They whipped him and tortured him. So he said, oh, if that's a problem. So he went into total absorption in Krishna, in Krishna. So much so, he didn't know if he was being tortured, if he was in this body or out of his body. So absorbed in Krishna. And then finally they threw him into the Ganga. And he came to external consciousness again and just came out. And, of course, after the king saw him, after it was reported that he was again going around, the king came and begged forgiveness. Personally, said, "You are the greatest holy man. We have created an atrocity. Please forgive us." And then he went back to the Brahmins. And the Brahmins said, "My dear Haridas, you were so sorry that this has happened. We don't know what to say." And Haridas said, "No, actually, this has happened because I was so foolish that when I was in the company of the king, then there were so many blasphemies against Krishna, and I tolerated, I heard them, I listened to them. You know, I didn't immediately give up my body. Therefore, Krishna has very appropriately punished me. He should have punished me so much more." So this is adoksha jadiya. Seeing everything as Krishna's mercy. Everything is coming from Krishna, torture, prosperity. It's all the same. Whether we're suffering, whether we're enjoying in this material world, when one is actually Krishna conscious, actually suffering, as Queen Kunti said, it's even a little more preferable. Because then I will have no possibility of attraction for material nature. So the suffering actually, not only is it the same as material happiness, because material happiness, material suffering are just two sides of a coin. But material suffering will make sure that I will not be attracted to material nature. So this is what's being described here. And this is what Prithu Maharaj is concerned about, because the situation is very prosperous. But he knows that at any point in time that things can change. And therefore, for the benefit of the king, and the king for benefiting the citizens, everyone must be Krishna conscious. So I'll stop here. Are there any questions? Yes.
So, in your descriptions of Haridas Thakur and Prahlad Maharaj being tortured, but still remaining Krishna consciousness through everything, can you compare the condition of, say, ISKCON today as opposed to, say, a few years ago? Are we undergoing a condition of torture? Like in 1976, when Srila Prabhupada was here, this whole room was filled up with devotees. And here we are 30 years later, but we are only very few in number. And there are some difficulties that you can say that our movement is passing through. Is there any kind of, can you compare the two situations, or are they not comparable at all?
It's always comparable that the, otherwise a devotee goes through difficulty, whether it be a Maha Bhagavata like Prahlad Maharaj, Haridas Thakur, or whether it be all of us collectively in Krishna, in our Krishna conscious movement, suffering from our own lack of Krishna consciousness. Actually, that's the greatest suffering for a devotee, is a lack. That's what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that the only real problem in this world is a lack of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, everything else happens by fate. No. Even in a few verses previous to this one, it said that it appears that Prithu Maharaj was undergoing the karmic process of diminishing his pious activities by enjoying. No. But actually, he was just Krishna conscious. That's what created the prosperity. So, prosperity for our Krishna consciousness movement means that when everyone is very Krishna conscious, Krishna gives us the opportunity to preach and to expand Krishna consciousness. And when we're not so Krishna conscious, then we will have to struggle with our own situations, with our own individual situations so much that it interferes with the spreading of Krishna consciousness. So in that sense, our suffering, otherwise, what is the suffering of Prahlad Maharaj? That to shoche bimukha chatasa indriyarta maya sukaya paramudahato vimudhan. His suffering is to see the lamentable condition of the living entities in this world. So when that becomes our concern, rather than, oh, this is happening to my body, this is happening to my situation, this is happening to my economy, this is happening to my marriage, whatever the circumstance may be that brings us some difficulty, if that is secondary, and the spreading of Krishna consciousness and the manifestation of Krishna consciousness in my life is my main concern, then our suffering could be compared to that of, maybe, of course, to a much lesser degree, of such great Vaishnavas, or even the Pandavas, or Kunti. They show us how, in spite of suffering, or in spite of difficulties, whatever the cause of that difficulty may be, whether it be the actions of other devotees, the effects of our previous karma, if it distracts us from service or makes us do less for Krishna, then it's not comparable. But if it causes us to become more enthused and more determined in Krishna consciousness, then it's comparable. But it really can only be comparable on an individual basis. Because even if so many people may make mistakes in Krishna consciousness that make our situation collectively more difficult, if an individual is very Krishna conscious, they will prosper personally, and they will bring others to Krishna consciousness. They'll uplift the Krishna consciousness of others, no matter what the circumstance. That we've also seen in our movement. And when someone is very Krishna conscious and enthused in Krishna consciousness, or determined in Krishna consciousness, then those persons who associate with such a Vaishnav, they become also determined in Krishna consciousness. Any other question or comment? Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish ki. Jagannath Balaji Subhadra Devi ki. Shri Shri Gornitai ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi ki. If there was anything wonderful, it's only because you were sitting on this fire.